I did it the 1st of March. Actually, Paula made me a website, so I have a website now too that you can go on and find it. And it's on my YouTube channel. Now I have a YouTube channel now because Paula helped me figure that out too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah,
What
that's
is it? Yeah, you could just put in my name in YouTube and probably find it.
okay. Yeah. No, it was good. And you know, I over the last that helped me to think about, you know, helping other people, because some of the things that I did were almost like really quick. And because I'd done a lot of, I guess, ministry over years, and I had a lot of things sorted out, I didn't find as many blockages as other people might do. And certainly not, and I just didn't even consider there would be a blockage between my soul and spirit. So it was like, you know, when you sort of talked about that, yeah, it really made me think. And
Awesome.
it also got me thinking about my spirit. And because, you know, when I open the first love gate and I engage with God, it's just about the intimacy of God's presence and being sort of joined to Him. But really, I guess, and I had never really thought about, well, what does my spirit look like? We had a question and answer time here on Sunday morning, and someone asked, you know, where is the garden, and is it in your spirit? Is it in your soul? So I said, well, oh yeah, it's in your soul. And so they said, well, what does your spirit look like then, if it's not like a garden? And I thought, you know, I've never really looked. You know, I've just engaged with God and then gone somewhere. You know, and so in worship, it was like I just engaged. You know, I thought, okay, I'm just going to go and have a look and see what's there. And I actually found that my spirit is a mountain, and on the top of the mountain is a throne where make Jesus Lord, and there's another throne next to it where He teaches me to rule, and the river is flowing out from there, and it goes down in streams that go through my different gates. And as I was doing it, I thought that scripture from Psalm 46, I think it is. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I think actually that's what actually my spirit is. It's my mountain. It's who I am. And I suddenly thought, well, I wonder if I can change it. Like I can change my soul and my heart and my garden and create it. And I sort of tried, but it didn't work. And I suddenly thought, well, actually, no, if this spirit has been created before the foundation of the world, then I really haven't got a thing to go and change it. It's what God has created. It's quite interesting. I had quite an
That's
interesting
good.
adventure around it.
Never thought about that.
No, I never at the time, but those are the sort of things that you sort of engage with when you that's how my sort of mind works, I guess, and I'd start thinking and talking and asking God about stuff and in those sort of encounters. But it was good, you know, because I always yoke myself to God, to Jesus, so I can be guided and directed by Him and be one with Him. But the whole thing of the seat of government of our life and the mountain of our own life, you know, I'd sort of thought about that, but never really sort of thought, oh, actually, this is what it is, you know. And it made it sort of really clear. And then I looked at my first love gate, and thought, well, actually, yeah, there's the gate. But what actually is it a gate into? Because I go through it, but I never really thought about, well, what's it? And for me, it was a pillar of like sort of cloud, more like an ethereal cloud that just went up until I just couldn't see it any further. And again, when I was thinking about that, I thought, actually, yeah, this is like a tower, just like they tried to build a Tower of Babel, which would actually engage right into heaven. Actually, my spirit already engages into it, and so it's already have access back there. So I go through the door and engage the river of life going through that, but I never really thought, well, what does it look like then? So it may look totally different for others, but for me, that's what really came up. So it was quite interesting.
Cool. That's neat.
That was good.
Awesome.
Okay, well, Paula's still not there. I think I might well just connect up and ask them to join on the text.
Okay.
What time is it there, Mike?
Here it's 8 minutes past one because our clocks have not yet gone forward. Where yours have, so it's an hour earlier for me, but the same time for you. Ours don't go forward until the 30th of March. It's an hour earlier. I suddenly discovered that Monday morning. I know I've got to rearrange 8 sessions this week.
Oh, there's Micah.
He's in the car.
Yes, I am.
Don't drink and drive, Mike.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to turn my camera off so nobody can see.
Right. Okay. So, is there anything you'd like to do today? Anything you'd like to talk about, or? Anywhere you want to go, do.
Have you ever been to the Mountain of Change?
The Mountain of Change. In terms of in the realm of heaven,
right?
Not specifically. I think is that a mountain related to your own life, and so it's your
I worked with another group on Mondays. We go up and we went to the Mountain of Change this last week or yesterday.
Yeah.
The last few trips we've been up, it's been amazing. We got to meet Melchizedek and.
Yeah,
and some other things. Doing a lot of trading. When we go up, remember that is when we go up. Every time, as soon as we get to the top of the ladder, we get horses or somebody comes up in a chariot to take us somewhere.
Yeah,
and. I usually don't have any problem seeing, and yesterday I was just kind of like struggling, like, why can't I see, like, everybody's seeing stuff, and I'm not seeing anything. Yeah. And we get to the top, and everybody's horse comes, and I rode in a chariot last week, so I didn't have a horse, and so everybody, their horse, and everybody's horse has a name, and I'm trying to figure out what my horse is, and I finally saw it. I was riding a seahorse.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And it was a... it took me a little bit to see it, but we went to a couple of places. But I thought that was neat. And I'm looking at pictures of seahorses early this morning. I got up, and they're really little seahorses. Did I have to ride a seahorse because my spirit or something is so little? You couldn't send a regular horse for me? Maybe think about that when you said your spirit's a mountain.
Mm. Yeah.
I said, maybe I'm just really little right now.
Yeah. I mean, some of these things are, it's cueing into what is the symbol of that? What is the symbolism of it? Why was it like that to you? Why did it appear like that? And often, there is a reason, it would be, okay, well, what's the significance of C to you? Rather than okay, they're on normal natural horses, so why C? What significance is there in C? Obviously, biblically, C is a representation of the nations, so that may have something connected to it, that your call is to a wider sphere, and therefore a normal horse can only travel on land, whereas a seahorse can go across land. There may be lots of different significances of it, they're interesting. They're interesting, these encounters that we get. But personally, it's like I guess a lot of places that I would see as where there are rooms and where are there things would be in the mountain of God. So that would be in Mount Zion, which may well be the same place as what you're seeing as the Mountain of Change. It's just sometimes just names refer to a similar place, but an aspect of it that you're looking to engage in. So you're looking to trade, you know, the trading floors, you know, around the throne and different areas. You know, I found that are in the Mountain of God, which, you know, was in the realm of heaven. And sometimes we may just be talking about the same thing, but from just have a different perspective of where it is. I would see potentially.
Yeah, they call it the Mountain of Repentance also, you see.
Yeah, and you know, and I think I personally have, well, I have seen other, I mean, the Mountain of God is an enormous mountain. You know, it's not like Mount Everest with a small peak on the top. It's like the plateau on the top is like hundreds of miles from my perspective. When I've seen it from a distance, it looks absolutely massive. You know, and when I'm in it, I really am engaging in where the places are, either in the temple, or the tabernacle, or around the firestones, or the trading floors. You know, there's various places that I've been within that mountain, you know, the wine room, and the treasury room, and the book room, and the mantle room, and then there's the sort of the body parts place where all the body, you know, there seems loads and loads of places that, you know, I've been to, and I've heard, obviously, lots and other people, you know, mentioning places that they've been, you know, and, you know, a lot of it may just be to do with the nature of why we're there at any particular time or what we engage in. You know, I've been shown certain things and taken to certain places, and then some places I've gone back by design. You know, like the wine room, you know, I wanted to find out something about one of the men in white linen that were associated with us as a ministry, and so I went back in the wine room and had a taste of that to engage in it, and that was a quite interesting experience.
So it's kind of like in my father's house, there are many mansions. Is that like going to the mountain and then getting to experience all the different places?
Well, my understanding of John 14 will probably be slightly different from everybody else's, maybe. But I believe that the many mansions, you know, is not really talking about heaven as a sense. It's actually talking about us being a house of God. And so in God's house in general, in terms of, you could say, in the church and the kingdom, there are many habitations of God, and that's us. And so when Jesus said, you know, I go away to prepare a place for you, the traditional interpretation of that is, well, I'm going into heaven, then I'm preparing you to come here one day when you die. And so then you can go and take your house. But actually, we are a house of God. And it goes on in John 14 to say, you know, when he went away, he came back in the resurrection to prepare us to be a habitation of his presence. And then in John 14, I think 23, it says, you know, if you abide in my word and obey my word, you know, we will come to make our home with you. And so we are a habitation of God. And I encountered Jacob a number of times in heaven, and he directed me to read the portion of his life that was about, you know, the ladder and the open heaven and the Lord standing in heaven sort of there. And, you know, he described that place as the house of God and the gateway of heaven, or the gate of heaven. And then he told me to see how that related to John 14. So I looked at it and thought, actually, this is the same thing. You know, actually, we are a house of God now, just like we have the garden in our heart, which was originally the garden that Adam and Eve had. Now that is the garden of our own heart that we tend and cultivate. So also we are a house and we're a gate of heaven, because we are a habitation of God's presence. And so when it comes to things like that, yeah, there are many places in the realm of the kingdom of heaven and in heaven. I personally believe that it's not that I've got a house there, but I am there. So it's like that is my habitation, and I am also a habitation of that place because I have the kingdom within me. So, you know, when I open the first love gate, really I'm engaging with that kingdom within me, where I can go back through it. So it's an interesting way of looking at it, but I think there's so much more in the realm of the kingdom and in heaven And then above heaven, you know, in the realm of heaven of heavens, and, you know, I've been there a few times, and perfection, and on it into eternity, you know, because the eternity within those realms is not the same as the infinite of infinity and the eternity of God. There's something there which you connect with that, and it leads you further on. But the realms of heaven are dimensional places that are created, and you know, we get to explore and have some fun finding out what they are, which is great, you know. But you know, a lot of my engagement in the realms of the kingdom, it's about protocol and learning the protocols of how we can administer the kingdom from there. And so, you know, I'm working through the different courts and finding how do I use mandates and scrolls in the different courts to affect, you know, heaven manifested on earth. And so I've been to a lot of places that some of them I've never been back. Simply, I just never felt drawn to go back there yet, because I've got enough time just spending engaging in the realms that I'm sort of moving in now, you know. And then, you know, you sort of move into the realms of the kingdom of heaven, you know, in kingship and the different aspects of the courts and the thrones there, you know, and engaging in, you know, the sort of with the seven spirits of God in the training hall in the realm of heaven. I mean, there's all sorts of places really that, you know, but I feel my focus is really to try and help people learn how to use the protocols of the kingdom and use scrolls and mandates and access those courts to change things. And I think God will give direction into any courts you need to go to when you've established those pathways within you. It's like, you know, when you walk a path for many, many times, it treads it down and you recognize it. Even if you're walking through a wild path, if you do it every day for a week, you'll form a pathway. And when we engage and go into heaven and engage with our mountains and engage with the courts, it's like we're forming a pathway in our own life that it then enables us to engage automatically. You know, I don't now need to go through the various veils and realms of different dimensions that I first had to learn how to do. I can just think, I want to be in that place and I'm there. You know, but I couldn't do that initially. You know, I'd had to develop the pathway to help me engage that way, and then follow that pathway regularly. And now, you know, I've engaged in lots of places, and you know, and I found if I wanted understanding of the protocols and where I needed to go, then I would go to wisdom. You know, and you know, either I would just ask Jesus to take me somewhere, you know, and take me on an adventure, which he does sometimes, or I just go to talk to wisdom, because wisdom is there to help us in our rulership. And so if there's a kingdom issue of rule or authority, then I would tend to go and seek for that revelation of wisdom. And she has taken me places and shown me certain protocols of how to do things. So that's a good place to engage, definitely. So have you got any other questions, or if you want to, you know, look to engage maybe in that pathway into, you know, getting some scrolls and maybe go into some of the courts and getting them authorized and things, it might be good.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to do that too, but before we do that, I just want to throw something out there. I don't know that I have a question other than just confirmation, I guess. Mm-hmm. The last time we talked, I had an encounter, and you said that it was, I said it was a court, and you said, no, that sounds like the war room.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It's a court, but it's the court of war, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I was just kind of standing there looking. I wasn't doing anything in it. So in the meantime, I got a mandate, and wisdom took me back there, and I was presented it, and I went through this whole process getting strategy, and I got angels to do things. I was able to do all that. It's hard for me to explain it because I don't know the terms, but then what was interesting for me was since that time I've been doing other things engaging with that mandate. To the point of I've been going to my mountain a lot to declare things over certain other mountains. And the other Sunday in worship, we were singing a song, and it was the Hallelujah, Michael W. Smith's Hallelujah chorus thing, where it says that Lord God reigns. And I saw myself on the mountain proclaiming the Lord God reigns over each mountain. And it was something that I had never done before. I'd never engaged in that place of, I guess what you would call rulership, while I was worshiping.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that something that is,
yeah.
I don't know. I hate to call it normal because it's not.
Yeah, it's absolutely okay, because what we're looking to try and do in building these pathways and to see our engagement is to establish that we can have visions that we see into the realm of heaven, like John did when in the first three chapters of Revelation he was looking into the realm of heaven as a vision and seeing that, you know, someone who looked like the Lord standing there, and you get the description. And then in Revelation 4, he then visited. He was invited to come up here rather than just look into here. And so he came up. So there's visitation where we visit and go into that realm in our spirit. And ultimately, there's habitation where we live there and here. And so a lot of these experiences where we're in worship is really to train us to begin to engage in both places at the same time. And so we're connected to here, but our spirit is there. I believe that's really how Jesus was able to do the things that he saw the Father doing. You know, I believe he was able to do that because he was connected, and his spirit could live there. I think in John 3, where he was talking to Nicodemus, and I think in the Amplified version, it talks about, you know, he's talking about no one have gone into heaven but him who's come out of heaven, talking about himself, and he says, who is in heaven, who has his home in heaven. And he was doing that as a man, you know. So, you know, I feel that, yeah, we need to learn how to live in those two places and engage in those two places and be connected continually. And so, yeah, having a mandate does nothing unless you administer the mandate. And so when you're then declaring lordship over your other mountains, you are basically establishing your right to rule. And depending on what is on those mountains, whether you've cleared them yet, whether there are any dragons or ogres or giants and things, you're preparing to rule from your mountain of who you really are, your identity, you know, as a spirit being, to rule the spheres that those mountains represent. And so absolutely, those are the sorts of things that we do. You know, when I get mandates, that's what I do. I go to my mountain, begin to let my spirit direct me. If I need other direction, then I would ask the angel that's there, you know, with me on that mountain. And I begin to call things, declare things, sometimes then engage with the angelic canopy that's around me, because, you know, as we're enthroned and we therefore look like what's heaven's like with the throne of God, then the canopy of angels comes around us like it does the throne of God. So we can engage with those levels of angels and direct them from our throne. And sometimes then we can go to the court of angels with a mandate and get specific, those that will specifically volunteer or come in on assignment for what the mandate says, so we can outwork it, you know. So, no, absolutely, I think it's exactly really the the sort of progression of revelation and experience and then outworking that experience that we need going forward, that we need to be ruling there all the time, you know, not just looking into it or visiting, but actually ruling there all the time and be consciously aware that we carry and are a gateway of heaven, you know, and that's really where the gateway is going to be manifested through our life when we're in a position of rulership. So yeah, that's what it's like around there. So okay, so let's go and engage. It'll be good to just engage around the presence of God, and we'll see where we go and see what we do and see what God does as He takes us to some places there. So yeah, let's just, you know, encourage you, just close your eyes and just begin to engage your spirit. As we stand here under an open heaven, with that realm open over us, we just step up through those steps into the realm of heaven. And engage Jesus in the door which is open for us to come. And let Jesus take us by the hand. He's going to lead us through the dimensions and the veils within the realm of the kingdom. And so I want to encourage you to sense the difference in the atmosphere as you breathe in the atmosphere in this dimension of the kingdom. As you breathe it in, as we go through the different veils of the way, of the truth and the life, just begin to sense the different realms as you move through them. Jesus just takes us through the dimensions of the Spirit into the dimensions of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So we go through those realms into and through the veil into the realm of heaven as we go around the arc of His presence. Encourage you just to begin to engage with the presence of God around the ark as He manifests His presence, the four faces of His presence. As we think about His name and begin to declare His name, Yod and He and Vav and He, Yod, He, Vav, He, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Just begin to engage. And as you step into the presence of God, begin to see and look through His eyes. Look through the eyes of the face of God that you are drawn to. Whether the lion or the ox or the eagle or the man, begin to look out from the perspective of being in and within the very presence of God. Just feel the energy and the life that comes. Now within the ark is a pot of manna representing the will of God for our life. And that will we can receive as a mandate So we declare, not my will be done, but yours be done. I just pray right now and release those mandates to be given to each person. Jesus, just release a mandate, a scroll. Let them sense, feel, and see that scroll. Just let the tablets of each person's heart, that you would unveil and unfurl the revelation of the scroll and their destiny and where this aligns. That their heart's desires would be drawn and changed and transformed towards that scroll, towards that mandate that they carry within their hearts, that gives them authorization and authority. Now Jesus just takes you by the hand and leads you to the court of chancellors, where the chancellors sit in the bench, and you carry with you within your heart the mandate that's been released to you, and they have before them a scroll. Just engage there as they begin to give you authorization. Now Jesus takes you again by the hand and leads you to your mountain within the realm of the kingdom as he takes you through the dimensions to your mountain. You have authorization from the Court of Chancellors for your mandate, that you would be seated. And again, Jesus would stand before you, the angel assigned to your mountain is behind you. Just begin to sense and feel the atmosphere of your mountain, the authority that you carry on your mountain. As he enthrones you there, he invests you with fresh authority for the mandate that you've received. He crowns you. Your crown has colored jewels. Your scepter has a jewel, and you're given a robe, a mantle of color. Now just begin to sense the authority and power that is released to you, the authority you have in the scepter to operate in lordship. Now if you can look down and around, you can see the other mountains below. If you know what they are, again, you may feel called to release something for that mountain. If you don't know what they are, just seek for the revelation that would come for the mountains that belong to you, your spheres of authority. Just observe and see if there's anything that's there within those mountains. Maybe a structure, maybe a creature. Just be aware that you may need to deal with that in the future. just sense the canopy of angels that is around you. Just see if you are led to engage with any of the different orders of angels within those canopies, in those layers and dimensions. Now Jesus again just takes you by the hand, leads you to the court of angels, where you carry your mandate as you open your heart in that realm and that court. Just sense the angels, see the angels that are assigned and aligned that come forth towards the desires of your heart as they're released in authority. As they come forth, just sense what your spirit is leading and directing them to do in alignment with this mandate. Now, Jesus again would just take you by the hand. He would take you and lead you to the court of war, the strategy room, that you can go and present your mandate and receive strategy. Again, they will write within the scroll, strategy for your mandate, both heavenly and earthly strategy. And just let that touch you again within your heart, within the desires of your heart, as the desires of your heart come into alignment with what you receive. Now Jesus again just takes you by your hand, leads you back to your mountain. Come back to your mountain with strategy, with angelic assignment for your mandate, and just sense, is there anything you need to declare? Is there anywhere you need to see into? Because what you carry within your heart gives you access in the realm of the spirit to look into situations from the perspective of heaven. Into those situations, whether it be people or earthly dimensions and places, just sense what the Spirit would have you do and say from that position of rulership and authority. Now, I sense that Jesus would want you to go and engage with wisdom on the heights. So he just takes you and he leads you through the dimensions. And he's taking you to the heights. And you're coming into a different dimensional place, and just begin to feel and sense the color and the movement that's around you in this place where the paths meet, where there are ancient paths, where wisdom stands, and the pillar of wisdom stands. Just begin to sense that engagement. Now, as you look to wisdom, she draws and beckons you near to come close, to feel and sense her heart and desire and longing for you. She longs for your engagement as a son, daughter of God. She longs to equip you with revelation, insight, wisdom, and understanding. Just look into her eyes and just look into the dimension of wisdom. As you go deeper into that dimension. Now, wisdom takes you to the door. There are doors in that realm, and she takes you to a door, and you can open the door and step through.
Hey, Mike, I think your mic is muted. I can't hear you.
That's okay, I'm not saying anything.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Sorry.
Now you can step back through that door and Jesus would just take you by the hand and allow the desires of your heart Allow him to take you to somewhere fresh and new that you've never been before. Just allow him to take you through. And give you revelation and take you to a new, fresh place. Now we can just step back through the veils and the dimensions back into this realm, taking with us and carrying with us our experiences, our encounters, the transformation and changes in our heart, and where the desires of our heart will draw us towards those things that we've experienced. Okay. How did you get on with that? Feel free to share anything or not. Okay. Hi, Paula. Okay.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I just thought that was a wonderful experience. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, good. I was just wondering what everybody else got with where wisdom caused us to step through that door, because what I experienced was a chamber. And it was called Mighty Goodness, the Chamber of Mighty Goodness. And the walls of it were like honey, and so I stuck my hand on the wall, and I was eating it.
Yep.
And I wonder if anybody else experienced in there with wisdom. Okay.
No. I mean, I've been personally through four of those doors that are there, and they've led me to different dimensional places, but you know, wisdom can open doors into different realms, so you know, it's to, you know, can take that, test me of that experience, and then continue to receive that, the revelation, so it doesn't stop with the encounter, but goes on because you carry it within your own heart. You know, and a lot of these encounters, I go back into the garden of my heart and I plant them as testimony seeds that produce a tree with fruit. And so then, you know, that mighty goodness and that place becomes a place I can engage back, because it's my testimony of that engagement within the garden of my own heart. And so most of my experiences, I would just go back there and plant, water, and see grow, and then I can open those experiences for myself again and give them away to others. So, yeah. So I don't know if anyone else would like to share. If not, there's no problem.
I felt like I was...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I have a question. Yeah. I always have a question. Can mandates like be really small? I mean, like the thing that you get really small. The one mandate that I got before was really big. It's a huge thing. I mean, for me, it was big.
Yeah.
And this time when I went in, I got another mandate relating to that, but it was small.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can get a mandate for one thing, for one day of your life, and you do it, and it's finished. It's like a mandate really is the authorizing authority to do something. So when Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, he was operating each time according to a mandate. And there can be general mandates, like, okay, like a healing mandate, let's say, but there could be a specific mandate for one occasion to do one thing. And the key is obedience to outwork those things. So mandates can be like whole life mandates according to our destiny scroll, and they're very much leading our whole life. Or I just go before the ark every day and I look for, okay, what is your will for me today? Because I believe we get fresh manna and fresh mercy every day. And so we need to receive it every day. Just like the manna basically only lasted a day, you know, what we get to do is for today. And if we don't do it today and it was a specific task for today, then we don't get it to do it tomorrow. So it's important to focus on what is it that God's saying today. And so a mandate can be a mandate for my day. You know, and I look for mandates for engagement in these sessions. You know, what is it, God, you want me to do in these sessions? And I respond a lot to questions, but also when it comes to engagement, I'm very much looking to operate according to, you know, where does God want me to operate and go to? And so that comes out of a mandate. So you can have a mandate very clearly just for one thing. Or one day, or 1 hour, or 1 minute, or a whole life. You know, but we need to operate out of authorized authority, and it's better to get a strategy to do those things from heaven, so we can do them on earth. You know, definitely, that's a positive thing. Yeah.
Also, when you had us to look through, the eyes of God in the Yad Heh Vad Heh and the ox, eagle, whatever. I had a little trouble with that.
Right.
What's the purpose in that? Just to see through God's eyes in that way? I mean, what's the can you explain the different aspects of each one? Because I saw the eagle. That's the one I kind of gravitated for. And I felt like what I was sensing was I needed to see... Yeah. Into places far away that, you know, how eagles fly up real high and they can see really far.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I felt like I was sensing.
Yeah.
But is it that way for each one? Like, if we feel led to that one, it's for a specific reason or what?
Yeah, it can do. I mean, it's a big, big topic, but
yeah.
Essentially... We need to do everything from the perspective of the of God's perspective. And so the lion perspective would be a kingly perspective about rulership. The ox, the prophetic perspective. The eagle, the apostolic perspective, which is why it sees from a higher perspective and sees a bigger picture and things. And the man, the priestly perspective, you know, of the priestly function we carry between heaven and earth and in engagement. So, it's something that I found, and the more I've done, the more it has enabled me then to outwork the things that I'm getting as God's revelation, therefore his will for me for a day or whatever it might be. Because sometimes it comes with a kingly function that you have to rule and you have to roar. almost. It's like the lion roars. There's nothing meek, or there's a sense of authority and boldness to declare new things, to rule and change things. You know, the prophetic function is looking in. You know, there's the whole thing around the ark. There's a rhythm to it, and a rhythm of breath and a life. We go into heaven, we come out of heaven, we go into heaven, we come out of heaven. And so the rhythm originally with Adam was he had the breath of life breathed into him, so his first thing was to breathe out what he'd received. And then he had to go back in to receive and then breathe it out. And so, you know, the priestly function looks into the presence of God, and the kingly function speaks out and looks out from the presence of God. The ox looks in prophetically to the presence of God, and the eagle speaks out and looks out. So there's this rhythm of going in and out and in and out. And sometimes we just need to go in the perspective that we're called to engage. That's my perspective on it. I mean, it's a, you know, there's a lot to it. And the more time you spend there, I found it changes and transforms the desires of my heart really, really significantly, and draws me towards my destiny and the things that God's calling me to do. But yeah, that really is sort of there. I mean, I think I've spoken about it a few times before, but I think that's about it. Okay, I need.